biggest stories, the best names, and all the big breaking news. The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Happy Friday. Welcome inside the Iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. My name is Will Nault. He is Logan Gordon. We've got a jammed show for you as we get you set for a busy weekend in the world of sports. Of course, the Flames and Oilers tomorrow, which has got a ton of storylines, including two struggling teams trying to find their way. I think it's been a little better in Calgary of late, and I don't know what you can say about what is going on up north right now. 2-11-2, their past 15 games going back to December 3rd, and last night, another tough one as they got their teeth kicked in by the Florida Panthers. So Saturday, the first match between these two teams since opening night in October for Calgary. I believe that was game two of the season for the Oilers, but yeah, a lot of to chew on there. We'll do that with Peter Labardius later on this hour. We'll get the view from up north in Edmonton. And of course, it is Friday, which means our NFL insider for CBS Sports, is Jason Lacanfora. And he will join us to wrap up the program a little bit later on today. Get you all set for what should be a very good and exciting divisional round weekend in the NFL. Two games Saturday and two games on Sunday. Let's kick things off with Peter Labardius. He joins us every single Friday for the Gemini Group. And Lou is with us right now. Lou, first of all, happy Friday. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. Happy Friday back to you guys.
I hope the reverb situation is solved. I think I fixed the problem. But
Nice.
Hopefully it's not as bad as what we saw yesterday.
No, I'm not hearing anything whatsoever.
Perfect. Let's, I guess... You know, we certainly focus in on a Calgary perspective usually on this program, Lou, but of course they don't practice today. They're doing an off-ice activity here in about an hour's time. We'll hear from some of the members of the team after that. But, you know, since there's nothing fresh in Calgary's world and there's lots fresh in Edmonton's world, I thought we'd, you know, start things off today with the opponent. And just your takeaways, I know you were likely dialed in as much as you could be last night. 6-0 Florida over the Edmonton Oilers. And as I mentioned in the intro, they now dropped to 2-11-2 in their last 15 games. Your takeaways from last night in Edmonton?
Well, I'll start with last night's game and we'll move on from there, because obviously it's a very hot topic. It's very hot and, you know, causing a lot of friction amongst a lot of people up the highway. Last night's game looked like this to me. The Oilers had great energy, great passion in the first period. They created what I would say were 4 or 5 grade A opportunities. Sergei Bobrovsky was excellent in the first period in particular. You know, the Oiler chances, a lot of one and dones. Now, when you get some of those chances, generally you would think they would get, you know, one or two goals for sure with what they created, but they didn't. And so, well, to use my common phrase, what do you get done when you're clearly better? And in their case last night, the answer was 0. So now you're struggling beyond belief. The heat is on in the marketplace. Maybe unlike I can ever remember, to be frank. And I used to work in that city, you know, in close contact with people who cover the team, who watch the team on a regular basis. It's hot. And I think we all know that. But after the Barkov goal on the power play, great pass by Sam Reinhart, it looked to me like it thoroughly deflated them. And, you know, yet they're still only down 2-0 going to the third period. And when you have the type of people, 2 in particular, that they have, that shouldn't be a massive concern. But then they got into that trading chances situation with the Panthers. And the Panthers, there's no question right now, you know, when they cause you to chase, you've got a problem. And if you make mistakes, you've got a bigger problem. And that's what you saw. I counted last night, and I think I came up with two or three. Well, I didn't see a lot of Florida defensemen having to play all 200 feet of the rink from about midway through the second period on, if really at all. Now, I understand the Oilers have great players and they're a great rush team, and they did not have two very key pieces in Hyman and Nugent Hopkins last night. But, you know, they're as fragile can be. Connor McDavid has one assist in his last four games. Leon Draisaitl has two goals and an assist in his last five games. But let me make this very clear. From a Flames perspective, you better be ready tomorrow. Because in Oiler land, their season isn't on the line tomorrow, but people's employment probably is. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it for them. And I'm not so sure, you know, there isn't even the potential of something happening there before the game tomorrow. Probably not. And as I mentioned, again, it's hard to evaluate well in these COVID type times because, you know, certain teams seem to do okay with key people out of their lineup. Other teams, not so much. But they can't get a save either. And I know that first and foremost is what I read. I read three things out of Edmonton from people that I have a lot of respect for. I'm a little surprised, frankly, outside of, I think, you know, I can see why even media members would suggest maybe more should have been done on the goaltending front. But even with that, did Ken Holland know that Mike Smith was going to be hurt? No.
No, but he probably, again, hindsight's always 20/20, so it's tough to sit here and talk about how, well, I said this in October. I didn't say it in October, but that being said, if you're going to put all your eggs in the basket of somebody who's 40, 39, 40 years old, well, you probably are going to live with the consequences, no?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you very much so. So, but who arguably, after the two big guys, was their best player last year?
41.
You know, you probably went 97, 29, 25, 41, right?
Yeah.
Throw Nurse in there. Is Nurse having a great year? No. No. He's got a new little one at home. Just signed a gigantic new extension. You know, he put up massive numbers last year, especially in the goal department. You know, you could see some of this coming. You really could. And the other thing about the market, and I know that I'm on a bit of an island when I say this, and I want to phrase this in a way that I'm not going to paint myself poorly. Is it a hard narrative to change? And if you're another member of the Edmonton Oilers outside of McDavid and Draisaitl, who, yes, absolutely the most dangerous player in the world and a top five player in the world, and Draisaitl for sure, in my opinion, do you get a little tired of the narrative every day being about what you're not and what they are? It would for me.
Yep. No, for sure. And, you know, I think we see that all the time. And, you know, I think even in reference to that clip from earlier this week, there were some people talking about how, you know, what's he going to say? He's going to throw his goaltender under the bus? I don't think he's going to do that. And
no, he can't.
No. I mean, everybody knows there's a big reason why they're losing games. And at the same time, it wouldn't be very smart for him to go up there and completely crush his goaltender. So definitely not in a good spot. And yeah, when you're asked those questions over and over and over again, certainly would be very, very sick and tired of it and can definitely understand where he's coming from. Okay, as we transition and kind of look towards tomorrow, Lou, you've mentioned it, McDavid 1 point in his last four. Draisaitl, not as cold. He's got 2 goals and 3 points in his last five. But those two guys always seem to have their best in this matchup. How do the Flames deal with 97 and 29 tomorrow night?
Well, a couple of things. Well, if there is no Nugent Hopkins again, and if there is no Hyman, it probably makes it a little more difficult for Dave Tippett to put them together. But at this point, wouldn't you? I think I would. And I'd probably take my chances and see where the game, you know, went from there. Yes, they combined for 6 points the last time the two teams played, you know, the Flames season opener all the way back on October 16th. Connor has more points against the Flames than any other team in the National Hockey League. Part of that is the amount that they play. But yes, both those guys have been utterly dangerous. Well, how do you deal with them? Well, we have this conversation every time we go into this matchup. You have to make them come through layers of people. And I don't know if you noticed this, Will and Logan. They were, the Florida Panthers, led by Radko Gudas, were really hard on McDavid last night. Really hard. You have got to be hard on those guys. Probably more so McDavid because, you know, Draisaitl's just such a big, strong man that's a little bit more difficult. But I'm going to be in Connor's pocket all night, and I'm going to be chirping, but you have to make him come through layers of people because you can't defend this guy when he gets any speed up one-on-one. It doesn't happen. But Florida did a very nice job. And then the best way to deal with those guys is one way. Spend time in their zone. Spend quality time in their zone. Make them defend you. Those are always the keys, frankly, against these types of players.
He is Peter Laborius, radio color analyst here on Sportsnet 960. Flames and Oilers tomorrow, 8 p.m. Hockey Night in Canada, of course. 7 o'clock pregame and warm-up, Sportsnet 960, and of course on TV, CBC, and Sportsnet. Lou joins us every day to kick off the program for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Logan.
Peter, would it be too simple to say a game plan for tomorrow if you're Calgary, or maybe a perfect ideal situation is get on this Oilers group early and try to get one past them? Because you mentioned that is the perfect word. It was the word I was thinking of when I watched the Oilers last night. It's a fragile group. If you can get that one by them early, and we know how good this Flames team has been when they've played with the lead, that's got to be your mindset heading into tomorrow's game, right?
Well, if I'm the Calgary Flames, I see a bit of a wounded animal, and I want to look after. I do not want to give the Edmonton Oilers any opportunity whatsoever to build something positive. Against that group with those people we've talked about, Logan, that's easier said than done. But you will want to have your checking game in fantastic order. You will want to put every puck you can at Mikko Koskinen as early and often. You will want to chip pucks and make their defense and forwards play all 200 feet. That's what you want to do early. You want to make them think about every single thing they've had a hard time with lately. And the sooner you can do it, the better off you are. But really, when you think about it, gents, couple of things. Every team's better, by and large, when they make somebody chase them. That's the Flames game plan every night, regardless of the opponent. And it's, by and large, that way for everybody. But yeah, Mr. Koskinen, you'd be touching a lot of pucks early. and your defense would be going back to the end of the rink and having somebody to deal with as often as you possibly can.
Were you as surprised as I was watching that game last night, Peter, that the defensive lapses in the Oilers game? I think about that for Hagee goal. I think about, you know, Bennett being given that much space in front of the net to walk in. And it just, it doesn't feel like a Dave Tippett coached team when you think about, you know, the fundamentals and a strong defensive game. It just didn't feel like that was anywhere present for this Oilers team. And I don't want to bail out Mikko Koskinen by any means. I'm not here to do that, but at some point that team has to look at itself and try to button up in its own zone too.
Well, I think first and foremost, and Dave's been talking about it for the last 2 years. You know, Daryl talks about it every single day. Even when you have those types of people, last night showed that you get into a trading chances situation or you start chasing the game and have to open yourself up, you've got a problem. You've got a problem. You know, and the hard part when you're the Oilers is this. You do weigh really heavily. You play those two guys, McDavid and Draisaitl, nearly 23 minutes and a lot of nights, if not more. So you ask a lot. And it also, in turn, asks a lot of the other guys because, you know, in games, especially when the Oilers are down, do they get into a rhythm, Logan, in the game? I don't think so. And, you know, again, I always have to be careful with this thing because you defend as a group of five. And, you know, take it for what it is. He's the best player on planet Earth. He's got 53 points. A lot of people don't like plus minus. It's not all on Connor. I'm not saying that. He's plus three on the year.
Well, and plus minus can, I think plus minus is a stat that I think in certain circumstances can be important. And when you talk about Connor McDavid, and you mentioned that, Lou, the thing with his plus minus is his, for him to be almost even at plus minus and put up the amount of points that he puts up tells you that inherently he's on the ice for a lot of points against too, if it's going to be almost sawed off on the plus minus category. I mean, for a guy that scores as much as he does, for it to be even means he's on for a lot too.
Yeah, he is on for a lot. And now, granted, you know, one of the reasons people don't completely value plus minus is special teams is a massive, massive part of the sport. And, you know, we knew they weren't going to operate at 44% all season long, but that's an area for this group that has cooled off. So, you know, in their case, they do a ton of damage in those situations. So when Will asked me, you know, about what it's going to take, well, another thing it's going to take is, you know, don't put those guys on the power play any more than maybe three times. Because you're asking for big time trouble. I mean, look at the first meeting, gents, of these two teams. Look at last night against Florida. Okay, outside of the first period when Bobrovsky, you know, gave his team a chance, which he did. Guys, what was the difference in both the games that I'm referring to? October 16th and last night?
Special teams?
Power plays, yeah. Special teams. The Oilers were 2-for-4 against the Flames in the Flames opening game. Last night, Panthers 3-for-5 on the power play, Oilers 0-for-3.
Good night.
Yes. Good night. Find you in the no chance motel without a key.
That doesn't sound
so. Yeah, you know what? And I feel for them up there. I know that won't be popular in Calgary because nobody's feeling sorry. And I'm not feeling sorry for them. But there's a lot of really good hockey people up there taking a lot of heat right now. including the coach, especially the GM, who the last time I checked is in the Hall of Fame, and should be. So, you know, these situations are not easy, and they seem to fall into some of the same patterns all the time. And it's so hard, guys, to win. And I'm not comparing, because McDavid and Draisaitl are, well, you know, the young part is starting to go away. They're 25 and 26, respectively. But look in Pittsburgh. Look what Pittsburgh seems to do regardless of who is out of the lineup or who's in. And how many guys go to Pittsburgh and end up playing some of the best hockey they've ever played?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a coincidence? It isn't for me.
Not for me either.
Right? So, no. Again, and the other thing is, fellas, that, you know, you don't have to hit me over the head with it. When you are struggling in a market in Canada, you know, in a place like Edmonton, where whether you like them or dislike them, they're all in. And the reporters are all in, the fans are all in, and they have high expectations. And one of the reasons they have high expectations is because, frankly, sometimes in sports and in life, it's hard to put old eras behind you. Mm-hmm. Pretty good up there in the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, I mean, it's kind of a different conversation and we don't have enough time to get into it. But what you just talked about, Lou, it's also like the direct comparable for me is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, absolutely. I think it is 100%. Correct. I really do. Now, the Jerry Jones factor is another story for sure. Another day.
Because every roster he puts together could win a Super Bowl. Just ask him. But, yeah, it's definitely just when you talked about putting past eras behind you, they can't seem to do that in Dallas. At least some people. Some people can, some people can't. But, you know, certainly that is, I think, always been a part of what's gone on up the road in Edmonton. Tomorrow night, it's the Flames and the Oilers, 8 p.m. puck drop from Edmonton. We'll have that game for you, of course, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We bring you every single game here on Sportsnet 960, and not quite to the heavy stretch, but we're getting closer to Lou and Derek calling a game pretty much every second night, and I don't think you're mad about that, Lou. I think you're ready to rock.
I'm good.
I saw you were at Max Bell last night.
Yeah, I was at Max Bell last night, a little under 18 AAA Flames and North Stars. Heck of a game. Then came home, had the Oilers and Panthers on tape, and, you know, broke that down for myself in my own way and, you know, sawed a few logs, and here we go again. Where am I going tonight, you ask?
Yeah.
As our buddy Gino DiPaoli said, we need to find a sponsor for Lou's game of the night. And I'm good for that if somebody's interested. Couple of choices tonight. Maybe over to the Flames Community Arena tonight.
Oh.
For a little Mount Royal University action.
Who are they playing?
I believe they are playing the Regina Cougars.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be good over at the blue side there at Flames Community. So you can look for Lou there. And I like the Lou's game of the week. That's good. I like that. Okay. Lou joins us every day for the Gemini Group. And also it is Friday, which means we close out our hit with Lou. And we have another edition of What Does Lou Say? It's brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, where primetime steak is broiled to perfection and served sizzling on a 500-degree plate, ensuring each bite is as hot and delicious as the last. You deserve this. This week's question is a pretty good one, and one that I think is going to be a nice conversation. It comes from Joe, and the question was talking about the 2021 World Juniors, I guess the 2022 officially. Of course, it always begins the year before.
Yes.
But the 2022 World Juniors, of course, were canceled. And there's been talk about potentially holding that tournament in the summer. The question from Joe is talking about, is there a chance, Lou, that you see that happening? And what kind of interference would it have with the draft? And also players that have been drafted going to respective NHL camps?
Do I think a lot of effort will be put in with what's gone on in the last 2 years, both on and off the ice? Absolutely. My understanding is that the World Women's Championship, which generally in an Olympic year doesn't, you know, take place, I'm hearing they're going back to August. I think there's a chance that a lot of those canceled tournaments, including the World Women's Under 18 team, gets played in the summer at some point. So, yes, I do think it will be played. Who would be available? Who wouldn't be available? You know, very difficult. You know, at that time of year, potentially, you know, you could have everyone available that would be born in the right age category. Now, will they be? What will their agents and NHL teams have to say about that, depending on the timing? Probably a lot. But do I think it's going to happen? I do think it's going to happen. What it's going to look like? I don't know. So time will tell. Of course, I'm not quite sure for a lot of people it might have the same appeal in the middle of the summer. But I will say this, guys, especially for the 19-year-old kids across the world, wouldn't you like to see them have at least the opportunity to finish the job?
Yep.
I know I would. You don't get any more chances at this one.
Every time somebody brings that up, I think about the picture that was on Twitter the day that they canceled the tournament. You had the entire German team on the ice taking photos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that tells you how much it means to these kids. And
Oh. Incredible, guys? Like, let's just say for fun, and I know we got to run, and you guys got way more, you know, quality things to deal with. But can you imagine? Let's just say that everybody who was on those respective rosters and maybe even others could play. Now you've got another, you know, full hockey season under your belt, which generally makes young people better. Yes, you'd have the break, which would affect you because you're not right in the middle of it. So that would take away a little bit. But I think the competition might be like bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see where it goes.
It wouldn't be the worst thing to have two World Junior tournaments about 4.5 months apart either. So, yeah.
Well, not for this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could have one once a month for me, but yeah. I don't think, well, no, you couldn't, because even for me, that might be, well, you know where I'm going.
Yeah, that's right. This quiz question, by the way.
What else are we going to watch in August?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a lot to watch in August, and I'm looking forward to it. By the way, this week's question for What Does Lou Say was courtesy of Joe. He is the winner of a pair of tickets. You're not going to have to wait long, Joe. Monday, January 24th, you're going to the Flames and the Blues, plus a $200 gift card to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. And that is your opportunity. Comes every single Friday. Go to sportsnet.ca/960. Go find the contest page and click on What Does Lou Say? It's brought to you every Friday by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Treat yourself to the primetime menu and indulge in two courses, including the mouthwatering petite filet for just $55. Book now at ruthschrissteakhouse.ca. Lou, enjoy your Friday. Have fun at the Flames Community Rink tonight if you get there, and we'll talk to you on Monday, pal.
Yeah. For our contest winner, as the late, great Bill Hunter would say, or would have said when he tried to bring the St. Louis Blues to Saskatoon, Joe, the Blues tickets are yours. Hurry. Have a good one, everybody.
Oh, what a way to end this week's hit. with Peter Labardius. Pete joins us every day, by the way, courtesy of the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue to focus in on tomorrow night. It's the Flames and the Oilers. We've got a battle of Alberta, finally, for the first time since October. It's going to look a little bit different, and the tensions might be a little higher than what they were on October 16th. Up the road to Edmonton we go with a look at the Oilers as the Big Show continues. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's the Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back. Hour one of the program continues. A reminder, there's a variety of ways you can listen to us, 960 on your AM radio. Stream us at sportsnet.ca/960 or tell your smart speaker to play Sportsnet 960. My name is Will Nault. He is Logan Gordon. We're live today and every day from the Iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. Currently hiring in Calgary and across Alberta with competitive wages, extended benefits. Visit iconicec.ca/careers. Well, tomorrow night we've got another edition of the Battle of Alberta, the first time these two teams have met since opening night for Calgary, which came all the way back on October 16th. It's round two of the Battle of Alberta, and at this point it's kind of hard to tell what exactly we're going to get, as the Oilers took another tough loss last night, 6-0 at the hands of the Florida Panthers. They dropped to 2-11-2 their past 15 games. As for the Flames, even though they won on Tuesday against Florida in pretty impressive fashion, it's still been a bit of a struggle for the Flames post-COVID break for them as they enter action 3-7-1 in their past 11 games. Both teams have seen their playoff spots slip away, but both teams have a ton of games in hand in the division. Should be a lot of fun tomorrow in Edmonton to talk about that and a whole lot more. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline from Oilers Nation and Daily Faceoff. He is Tyler Yaremchuk, and he joins us right now. Tyler, thanks so much, as always, for doing this. I believe you were there last night. Take us through your impressions of another tough loss for the Oilers, 6-0 at the hands of the Florida Panthers.
That was a tough one to sit through by the end of it, but credit to the Oilers because they at least came out and they got off to a really good start, which is something they struggled with for a long, long time and something they really haven't done much of over the course of this long losing streak they've been on. They came out of the gates flying. They were the better team for the first 20 minutes, outshot the Panthers 17-7 in the first period, and then Mikko Koskinen gives up a bit of a softie in the second, and the wind kind of gets let out of their sails. And they never really recovered from that. They had some decent shifts. They looked like they came out in the third period and played pretty well. But then Koskinen gives up another softie. And that was the end of the game. And they really did pack it in kind of in the final 5 minutes of that one. So the box score read 6-0. That wasn't a 6-0 or 5-0, whatever it ended up being. It wasn't as bad as the scoreboard says. But at the same time, a loss is a loss right now for the Edmonton Oilers, and things are not getting any better. Just when you think they've kind of hit rock bottom, they find a new layer to get to.
I saw you put this on Twitter earlier today as Ryan Rashog of TSN reporting that, you know, the Oilers are not going to do anything, and if anything, they'll do something post-Flames game tomorrow, depending on the result. For us, and this is not just guys in Calgary talking about it, it feels a lot, Tyler, like the situation we saw earlier this year in Vancouver, where everybody was waiting for something to happen. Ultimately, they fired the GM and the coach. I don't think that's happening in Edmonton. I think the coach is in danger, and the GM is certainly safe at this point, even though I think there are questions about his job and certainly the job he's done to this point. Why has Ken Holland been so resistant to make a move behind the bench? Not to say it's all Dave Tippett's fault, as I think we can all tell that in this 15-game stretch, I believe the Oilers have a league-worst 856 save percentage, and it's kind of hard to win when you're not getting saves. But what's your thought been on, I know he's never done it in his career, so a mid-season coaching change is maybe not something Ken Holland wants to do, but at this point, you've got to do something to ignite and get some life out of your team. What's your thought on the wait and kind of this just lull period where it feels like everyone's waiting for something to happen?
There have been fans clamoring for a coaching change since, we can go back to when the Oilers were 16-5. There were portions of this fan base who said there are cracks in this team and Dave Tippett isn't the coach to take them to the promised land, take them to a spot where they can win a playoff round. And those who want a coaching change, I mean, the list is only growing, and I can't believe it hasn't been done already. I thought when they lost to Toronto, it should have been done. I thought when they lost to Ottawa, it should have been done. I was actually under the impression that we might have gotten a change today. That obviously is not the case. But, yeah, you're right in saying that it's not all on Dave Tippett, but he is a big factor in all of this. The goaltending's not great. That's on Ken Holland. But there's a lot of people not happy with the way this lineup's been put together on a game-by-game basis, on the way the goaltending has been handled at some points this year, at the way he deploys some of his defensemen as well. I can't believe a change hasn't been made yet. I don't think there is a reasonable explanation for why one hasn't been made either. I just honestly think it boils down to Ken Holland's never done it. He's a little stubborn, and he doesn't want to go there right now.
And I think we'll wait and see what happens going forward. But the next conversation in terms of trying to do something to this team, I think everyone's waiting for the Oilers to explore goaltending options. What's your thought on the Evander Kane situation?
The Evander Kane situation. Listen, he's clearly not a good dude, right? Like, he's had trouble everywhere he's gone. Problems in Buffalo, problems in Winnipeg. And the thing some people, I think, are kind of forgetting is the reason he wasn't in San Jose this year had nothing to do with the suspension for the fake vaccine card or anything like that. It stems back to the beginning of the offseason when players in that room told management they don't want him around. And management said, done deal. He won't be around then. And then the COVID vaccine stuff, all that came afterwards. San Jose looked at their best player last season, their best offensive player, and said, you are not worth the problem you bring in our locker room. And they didn't want him. That speaks volumes to the kind of guy he is in the room. And it's, again, this isn't a one-off isolated thing. The fact that the Oilers are likely going to sign this guy at some point just speaks to how desperate they are. Like, they're sitting there going, you know what? Forget what kind of problem he is in the room. Forget all the incredibly disturbing off-ice allegations that he's faced over the last, we could say, what, 8 years? They think it's worth the risk because they need help that badly. So I totally get there's a lot of Oilers fans who are saying, I don't want to cheer for this guy. I don't want him on my favorite team. And I think those fans are incredibly justified in saying that. I think Ken Holland is just sitting here right now and going, I'm running out of options. He's available for cheap, and he's proven he can score 20-plus, 30-plus goals a season at the NHL level. I'm taking the risk on bringing this guy into the room. So I totally understand, and I think the fans, like I said, are justified if they're upset with it. But there is another part of me that kind of understands where Ken Holland's coming from and bringing this guy in because the Oilers are desperate.
He is Tyler Yaremchuk from Oilers Nation and Daily Faceoff. He joins us here on the Big Show, Sportsnet 960. Logan?
Tyler, since we talked last when Ken Holland had his press conference a few weeks ago, a lot of, I'll say, consternation from Oilers fans came in the form of Ken saying that, look, they're not really interested in moving their first-round pick to maybe pick something up this year, and Oilers fans sort of replying with, well, shouldn't every year be a go-for-it year when you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? And where is this sort of resistance coming from Ken to make these sort of moves while he's got Connor and Leon? It just seems to be a resistance in wanting to give up any sort of asset to make an acquisition. Kane, we mentioned just that you're there with Will, doesn't cost you anything but cap space and maybe some moral credit when you're said and done to sign him, but he just doesn't seem to want to give up anything big when it comes to making additions to this team. Why is that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a really good question. If you think back his first trade deadline, he did kind of push some chips into the middle. He gave up the two picks for Athanasiou. He gave up a pick for Mike Green and a pick for Tyler Ennis as well. He made a move to make them better at that moment. You go back to the last trade deadline and he said, hey, you can't go in all in every year because you'll run out of assets. And I kind of defended him a little bit at that point. And I said, hey, they're getting in the North Division. They didn't need anything to help them push them into a playoff spot. I'm okay with him taking a year off, but I also said that was his last chance to do so because he went into an offseason where he had $23 million in cap space that he could have spent to make this team better. He spent it all, and he clearly didn't make them better. In fact, he may have very well made them worse. So I think if you're Ken Holland, you've messed up the past. You need to mortgage the future now. You need to be giving up first-round picks. You need to be looking at some prospects in your system and going, I'm open to moving all of them because Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are going to run out of patience right away if I don't start showing I'm serious about making this team better. That's what his mindset should be. It's clearly not what his mindset is, though. And maybe a part of it was he didn't want to come out to the media and give off a stench of desperation and have other GMs licking their chops going, I'm going to call him nonstop to try to get one of those first round picks because he's desperate right now. But I would certainly hope behind the scenes, Ken Holland is considering everything in it, anything and everything, because missing the playoffs is not an option for this team. Because like I said, there's going to come a point where Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl run out of patience. And I don't think Ken Holland should be taking a chance that this summer is the summer where they do that if Edmonton misses the playoffs.
You had a video up for Oilers Nation and going over some of the options that might be out there as far as goaltending. You're closer to the situation. You've paid more attention to it than us. I know there's some financial difficulty that goes along with it, but who are some of the names that potentially make sense for Ken Holland to look at this season to maybe help them in that goaltending area?
Yeah, and I got thanks for letting me give a little plug here. I got another video coming up on the Nation Network YouTube with Mike McKenna, former NHLer, going over and giving some scouting reports for some goalies that are available. Marc-Andre Fleury's not realistic for this team. Jonas Korpisalo has his name out there, but quite frankly, he sucks. He's not a number one. He's not a starter. The names that interest me would be Semyon Varlamov out in Long Island. He's got another year at $5 million, so that's a little worrisome. But if the Islanders kept some money or took some money back, I think that's a name the Oilers could be interested in, and he would certainly be an upgrade. Braden Holtby in Dallas. If Dallas falls out of the race, I think he's a great fit for Edmonton. $2 million cap hit. They could slide him right in, afford it nicely. And he has really good numbers this year, and he's a proven playoff guy. I would look at Holtby. And if they want to take a swing at a guy that's maybe more of a long-term fit, I think they should be looking at Alexander Georgiev out in New York. But I'm not sure if they're going to be willing to move him mid-season. I know he has a bit of a soft trade request, or at least had made a soft trade request at some point over the last year from New York. But I'm not sure if the Rangers are going to give up their backup while they're pushing to potentially go on a deep playoff run this year either. So I think the most likely name, if they do make a trade, is probably Braden Holtby, but that requires Dallas falling out of the playoff race. The bottom line is right now, I don't think there's a lot of goalies on the market that fit what Edmonton needs. And that almost adds to the frustration here in the fan base, is because they want Ken Holland to make a move so bad, but there clearly really isn't a fit out there right now on the trade market.
Just in general, speaking about this frustration level around the group, and we obviously, and I'm sure you've seen it around everything with the situation with Leon Draisaitl and Jim Mattheson going back a couple of days ago, and it struck me as curious because it wasn't a post game. It was just a practice day. It was a seemingly normal day at the rink. I would have understood some of the frustration maybe like that after a, say, 6-0 loss to Florida last night, but this was just sort of something that's been building. What's the frustration level around the team? What's the general mood of the team, Tyler, on a day-to-day basis? Is it really that high where, like, Leon's at that tipping point on a practice day? Did we catch him on a bad day? What's the level like there? Like, are we talking about levels going off of the chart should they lose Saturday against the Flames?
Yeah, I mean, the frustration level is clearly very high. Like, they have 2 wins since the start of December, and with the amount of time they've had off, that's 2 wins in, what, 51 or 52 days or something like that? That's a long time to go, not winning a lot of hockey games. The thing with the Draisaitl incident is, that's a little bit of his personality. Like, when he's in a good mood, he has a very dry sense of humor. He's never been afraid to be combative with the media. Him and Rob Kitchkowski had a run-in with each other last season as well, when the Oilers were in a streak where things aren't going great. And the other side of it is, there have been players who have pushed back on Jim Mattheson in the past. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has had a thing like that with him. Mikko Koskinen had a thing like that with him earlier this year. Like, this stuff just kind of happens, and it just happened to go viral, which is why it's such a big story right now. But it did shine light on just how frustrated that group is, and understandably so. Zach Kassian was frustrated during that same availability after practice as well. So I think it just speaks to, you know, I don't think it speaks to problems in the room or anything like that. It just speaks to how badly these guys want to win and how poorly things are going right now.
Tyler Yaremchuk is our guest, Daily Faceoff in Oilers Nation. Just 2 more for you, Tyler. First one, your thoughts on tomorrow's Battle of Alberta. I mentioned in the intro, as bad as it is in Edmonton, it's not like it's much better here in Calgary. They did get the win on Tuesday, and they're going to start to get into the heavy portion of their schedule as they've barely played, much like the Oilers in the last, 6 weeks or so. Your thoughts on round 2 of this season's Battle of Alberta tomorrow?
One of the big problems for the Oilers over the last month and a half has been their inability to get into games physically and really show any sort of give a you-know-what. Like, they just, they're so pedestrian. They're so soft. They're so easy to play against. Yesterday, there was a moment. Anthony Duclair comes hard to the crease, snows Mikko Koskinen. Had to, or else he would have ran him over. But your goalie's covered in snow, and no one on the ice even looked at Duclair. They just look so disinterested. And I actually think one of the best things for this Oilers team would be if Calgary comes out of the gates and is hard to play against and is physical and maybe they're a little bit dirty and maybe this Battle of Alberta will just, like some smelling salts, perk the Oilers up, wake them up, and get them back to that level of being hard-nosed and hard to play against. The guy in specific is Zach Kassian. He's been a non-factor now for, it feels like, two full seasons. Maybe he needs a run-in with a certain someone in that Calgary lineup to really wake him up. So, you know, and there's a very good chance that tomorrow's game is just the Oilers being pedestrian again, and maybe they win 3-1, maybe they lose 5-1. Who knows? They haven't shown much fight as of late, but I think a lot of Oilers fans are looking at this matchup and saying, if anything is going to wake the Oilers up out of this funk, it's an opportunity to beat their provincial rivals.
And here's the final one. As I was perusing your Twitter page today, I saw you did the Daily Faceoff show with Mike McKenna, and I happened to notice a Buffalo Bills helmet behind you. Your excitement level for Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, my excitement level over the last week has been very high.
Are you nervous?
I'm absolutely nervous for this one. My big bit for kind of the whole season when I do radio hits in Edmonton is I always call the New England Patriots frauds, and it gets people riled up. It's hilarious. But it was very nice to see the Patriots exposed for the frauds that they truly are, and Bill Belichick exposed for the fraud that he is. And heading into this Sunday, though, the Chiefs are not frauds. It's going to be a tough matchup for my Buffalo Bills. But you know what? I think the bet of the weekend is Bills money line, and I'm standing by that. That's not a homer thing, I swear.
Are you superstitious? Like, did you do something last Saturday that you're going to repeat this Sunday? Is that something you do?
I'm not I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious, to quote Michael Scott. I'll probably be wearing the same red Stephon Diggs jersey for the game and all of that good stuff. But no, my big thing, like when my favorite teams are playing big games, is I don't like going to a bar or having friends over or anything.
Amen.
I just like to sit and stare at my TV for 2.5 hours and like live my life in agony for the entire game.
Should be awesome. They're saving the best game for last on the weekend. Sunday, 4:30 kickoff, the Bills and Chiefs from Kansas City. Enjoy that game. Enjoy tomorrow, Tyler. Appreciate the time. As always, we'll talk again soon, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Chat soon.
Tyler Yaremchuk, our guest from Oilers Nation and Daily Faceoff, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Come on in and enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery also available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll transition to hour number two. Lots to chew on across the sports world. Plus, we're going to have some fun just after 1:30 as Jordan Tomiyama's got some explaining to do. That's all I'm going to say, as 1:30 should be a lot of fun here on the Big Show. We'll take a break, come back, and kick off hour two next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.